Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 7:07 at News Talk WSB, 7:07 and 40.3 degrees outside. Rainy degrees this morning. If you have a question about gardening today, 404-872-0750. Our lines have been full all morning long, and I do appreciate that. A lot of people thinking, you know, I'd rather stay inside today. One of the places, of course, you can go when it is rainy outside, if you have not yet gotten your Christmas tree, Pike Nursery. I was there yesterday. Beautiful trees, smelled like Christmas, beautiful poinsettias. I bought a nice one, which I will give as a gift to one of my favorite people here at the studio, and it was just a great day to be inside. Be inside today, be inside yesterday. It was a wonderful time. Terry is in Temple, Georgia, and joins us. Hey, Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Walter. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Terry. Thanks.
I have a couple of Banks roses that I put out about 3 years ago. They are streaming out great. They've got long runners. They're very prolific in that part, but they've not yet bloomed. I used to have a house that we rented over in Jacksonville that had one, and it was like, it bloomed like crazy. But these just haven't started blooming, and I didn't know if there's a time frame once you put them in the ground that they will start blooming, or if there's something I need to be doing.
A lot of vigorous plants, and Lady Banks Rose is one of those I would characterize as very vigorous plants. As you know, it takes them a couple of years to get sort of acclimated and to the size they like to be before they start blooming. I think 3 years is not out of the question. It's just growing real fast and getting used to the sight and the sunshine levels and things like that before it starts blooming. So I'm not worried yet. If it seems healthy, it's got green leaves, it seems to be just perking right along, it's going to bloom. It's just a little early right now.
Yeah, at one point I think it's going to loop over the top of the 24-foot ceiling now. So, you know, it's doing really well. I just kind of was hoping maybe it would start, you know, maybe last year, but it did, or this past year.
Yeah, my favorite one was up the side of a garage and pretty much halfway up the roof when I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Do I need to be fertilizing this thing a certain way?
Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're doing
fine. I didn't think so either. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But all right.
I think the only thing you do, to knock the blooms off, Terry, would be to prune it severely in the wintertime, because you know the blooms come pretty early in the summer and spring.
Right.
And so pruning in the winter wouldn't do you any favors. So I would leave it alone. Okay. No fertilizer. Wait for the flowers next year.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. We appreciate you, everything you do.
Oh, Terry, thanks a bunch. We'll see you soon.
All right. You too. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
404-872-0750. That's the number you can dial and get your question answered and get out of here just like Terry just did. Hoss. Oh, Hoss up in Dawsonville. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm pretty good. You?
Oh, Hoss, I'm great. What's going on?
I've got some crepe myrtles out there and some azaleas. I was wondering when would be the best time to dig them up and replant them.
How tall are they, Hoss?
The crepe myrtles is 8 foot tall, and the azaleas, they're just probably 1 foot tall.
Yeah, all right. I talked to my friend Alan Sugar last night, and Alan said he had been just that day yesterday in the cold transplanting his crepe myrtles about 6 or 7 feet tall. And he wondered if it was going to be successful. And I thought, yeah, it's going to be successful. He's moving from the shade out to the sun. You know that crepe myrtle was going to be unhappy in the shade and more happy in the sun. And so, Hoss, this time of year when the leaves are all off of the crepe myrtle, when the azalea is pretty dormant right now, this is a perfect time to move them. Move them anywhere you want to.
And the azaleas also?
Same deal. Just try. The aim when you transplant a shrub or a tree is to get as much of the root system as you possibly can. And don't worry too much, Hoss, about how much dirt you get with it. A lot of people want to make a nice round ball, you know, underneath the azalea and underneath the crepe. But azalea root systems are really shallow. They're only about 3 or 4 inches deep. And so you can go out and make a nice pancake if you want to, of dirt around the azalea and around the crepe myrtle too. They don't go further than 6 or 8 inches deep. So it's really not necessary to go down 12, 15, 18 inches deep in the ground and try to dig it up that way, because there's no roots down there. Just make a big pancake around the center of the tree, out 3 or 4 feet, try to pull the roots out of the ground gently, pull it up out of the ground and move it bare root if you want to. But more roots, the better off it'll be.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
This is a great time to do it too, Hoss, because the ground is saturated now. So this is the softest the ground is going to be all year long. So even though it's cold and wet and windy, this is still a good time to do it because the roots are that much easier to dig out of the ground.
It'd be pretty easy and it's muddy.
Yeah, right. Wear old clothes. That's what we do.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
You bet. We'll see you soon, man. We got Robert in Tucker, Georgia, joining us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Walt. How are you?
Doing fine, my friend. What's going on?
I think Nicole's bird, I think it's a chickadee, I think. I'm not sure. I like, of course, my favorite is the Carolina thrush, you know, the tennis ball with wings.
Yeah, right. They have a pretty sound to them.
They're wonderful. The reason I called, I've got a 100-foot plus pine.
Yeah.
And I've got jasmine that's, of course, all the way up in the top. It has a nice little white flower at the top of it, which no one can see.
Yeah.
And the reason I left it on the tree is because for my birds to roost in. Now it's getting the size to where if it were to die, it would take about 3 fences out, which would be, you know, like a $10,000 deal.
All right.
So I want to get this thing off the tree.
All right.
How careful do I have to be with what I was going to do is just take a section out at the bottom?
Yeah.
It's like four inches in diameter.
That would be fine as long as you take a section that, you know, severs the connection between the bottom of the jasmine vine and the rest of it up the tree. The rest of it up the tree will die completely. It's not a parasite. It does not depend on the tree for nutrients. And so it's all coming up through that vine. If you cut the vine, the vine is dead.
Right. How careful do I have to be about, because, you know, it's kind of blended into the tree.
Yeah, of course.
So how careful do I have to be about, like, if I use my Sawzall and cut back to the bark? Do I have to be real careful about if that bark comes off?
Not real careful, Robert. I think that pine trees, because this is the nature of the plant, the bark is sort of scaly. It sort of comes off, pops off, you know, with a little bit of pressure. What I have done before, and I don't know how country you are, Robert, but my father called it a tire iron. And so if you have a flat tire iron and you can slip it underneath the vine, between the vine and the trunk of your pine tree, and pull it loose, that works fine.
That's what I was planning on doing. I think we're on the same page. Right quick on your trip to the Mekong Delta.
Yeah, man.
There's one of your stops, I believe, will be Sadek down south.
Sounds familiar. Yep.
I was stationed there in 68 and 69 of the 9th Army Division.
Yeah.
So when you go through there, say hi to the 514th VC Battalion.
I will tell everybody you said hey, Robert.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for calling, Robert. It's great talking to you. 404-872-0750 get you in to take Robert's place. We got Bob down in Noonan, Georgia, Coweta County. Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Well, I've got this issue I've been dealing with ever since we moved into this house about a couple decades ago. There's a bay window on the north side of the house, and there's an area underneath it that's maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 square feet. And it's bordered on all sides. The wall is brick, and the surrounding area is brick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just interested in having a hardy ground cover that will thrive in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
And if at all possible, if at any time of the year it turns into a brick color, that would be interesting. And strolling through images on the internet, I've seen some that are, or reddish, or dark reddish, or so forth. But that's not really necessary. That would just be kind of
neat, interesting.
Frosting on the cake there.
How tall do you need the plant to be, Bob?
Not at all. I'd rather not have it really tall. I'd rather have it lower ground cover, so it's just an area of color there that's other than the ugly-looking combination of gravel and moss and a couple of strips of leftover concrete that they didn't remove.
The plant I was thinking about, because you said the have a little reddish color to it during the year, there's a plant called autumn fern. Autumn fern doesn't get real tall, but it's going to be 2 to 2.5 maybe feet tall. But it turns a pretty bronze color when the new fronds come out in the spring. The autumn fern makes a nice bronze color that would sort of fit in with the brick there, at least temporarily. Huh. It won't be all year long. So that was one that I was thinking about briefly while we were describing the situation. Another plant that I would call a ground cover, it only gets about a foot tall, is hellebores, or Linton rose is another name for hellebores. And Linton rose and in an area like that would do fine in the shade. They're known for blooming in the wintertime. They're blooming right now, as a matter of fact. Not many of the flower colors are brick colored, but there are white forms of hellebore that might look nice against the brick. And they spread, and you know, it goes nicely around the gravel area you have. And the third one to think about is mondo grass. Mondo grass, very shade tolerant, doesn't bloom to speak of that you're going to notice. But mondo grass is a nice 3 inch high, 4 inch maybe high ground cover. And you can buy that at a nursery and divide the little pots and make 15 plants out of one pot of mondo grass and put that in your area if you want to.
And it spreads then?
Yeah, sure does. Mondo grass, hellebore, or maybe autumn fern, or maybe a combination if you want to play with it and get adventurous. That'd be all right too.
Okay. So the area right now is it's maybe half dirt, but it's got a some moss and some gravel and, like I said, a couple of chunks of concrete sticking up. What should I put down first?
Go to the nursery there in Noonan, Bob, and say, I need some soil conditioner. It's mostly ground-up pine bark. It's what soil conditioner is made of. And just say, I need some soil conditioner. Put a layer 2 inches thick, I guess, on top of the ground. Dig it in deep. Dig it in about 8 inches deep. And you should then be able to have a nice planting area that all these plants will do fine in that kind of environment. All right? Bob, it was great talking to you. 7:18, we'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the Lawn and Garden advice you need.
Oh, Hanukkah, oh, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all get the horror. Gather around the table, we'll give you a treat. A sippy bunchy play with and latkes to beat. And while we are playing,
jumping up and down for the Hanukkah Dreamer songs. 404-872-0750 is the number. And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Saturday today, high 42 degrees. Right now it's 39 degrees. High, low tonight, 36. 100% chance of rain, of course. Sunday, 38 is the high. 35 is the low. 70% chance of rain tomorrow. Morning light rain sort of tapering off during the day. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Helen is up in Sandy Springs and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hi, Helen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. What's up?
Okay. I have a fairly young Japanese maple.
Yeah.
It's probably about 5.5 feet tall. It was pretty full with limbs and everything. A deer rutted against it.
Oh, man. Just rubbed the heck out of it.
Broke all the limbs.
Yeah.
And you know, roughed up the bark. There are two fairly good limbs left.
Yeah. Oof.
Is it going to come back?
April and May we'll know, Helen. Right now it's hard to say. It depends on how much damage was done to the cambium layer underneath the bark where the deer rubbed his antler back and forth to rub off the velvet. The best you can do now, Helen, is to get a little sharp razor knife and go out to the tree and sort of sit on a bucket or something and scrape off or slice off as best you can all the little splinters and rough edges of the bark where he did the damage. And just sort of clean up the wound. That's all you're trying to do right now is clean the wound. and wait and see. If it's broken limbs, make them clean cuts so you don't have any stubs and rough edges left on the ends. But that's basically all you can do now is to wait and see in April and May and see how much damage was totally done to the bark of the tree.
Okay. Now, he also did just a small, small area on what I call my Christmas tree. And it's very, you know, fine pine. And anyway, it's a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
Should I do the same thing with that?
Yeah, same thing,
area?
Just clean it up, make sure it doesn't have any splinters and things on the bark where you rubbed it off, and wait until next year. I doubt the Christmas tree or conifer, I doubt it had any damage done to it at all, or won't show any damage. The Japanese maple, that's just a wait-and-see kind of thing. We will see. Let me know. Call me next May, and we'll find out more what to do then, if there's anything that can be done, Helen. It's 7:27. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after news.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
7:36 on a Saturday morning. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia gardener, here to help you be more successful. Do whatever you want to do, as long as this morning it's indoors. I don't think anyone is out this morning, including the kid who said he was going to come and blow my needles and drake them up and put them in bags. I don't believe he will be on the job this morning. My number is 404-872-0750. If you have a garden question, dial those numbers and you'll get in and get your question answered. Marge is over in Douglasville and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Marge, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I have a disagreement with you.
Oh, speak. Tell me.
About Christmas cactuses.
Yeah.
Last week you said you could not root them in water.
Yeah, sure enough, here comes Marge saying, yes, you can.
Two of them that pieces had broken off, and I thought, well, I'll just see what happens. I stuck them in jars of water, and sure enough, they got lots of roots on them.
How long ago did you do it, Marge?
Oh, I guess last year, sometime last year. They're doing fine.
That's the hazard of being an expert, is quite often the expert's opinions are wrong. So in my opinion, they don't do well in water, but Marge, you have just proven me wrong, and I don't resent that at all.
Good, yeah. And my original one didn't bloom. Actually, it's a Thanksgiving cactus, I think I have.
Yeah.
Didn't have much blooms this year. What do you think I could do to make it bloom better?
You know, always taking them outside during the summer seems to be the key to making Christmas cactus
or
Thanksgiving
cactus happy.
I always do that,
but my brought it in, it just didn't have many blooms. It's probably 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, another thing is you tend, because it's such a long-lived plant, you tend to leave them in the pot a long time between repottings. And frankly,
right.
I haven't repotted mine in 5, maybe 6 years now. Mine would probably bloom better if it has fresher soil for the roots to go in. The soil tends to decompose and break down and compact and make it not as hospitable to roots after several years.
And you wondered about that. It'd be quite a job to plant a pretty good size. But
yeah. Well,
anyway,
even though it's pretty good size,
you'll
knock off a bunch of little pieces and parts. You can stick them in water and root them and give them to your friends. You can do that.
Yeah. Would Miracle-Gro help it at all?
If you give it the sunshine that it needs. Not now. You don't need to fertilize in the winter when the sunshine level is so low. But, next spring when you take it outside, fertilize it then. Sure.
Okay. Well, thanks a bunch.
That's great talking to you, Marge. Thanks for correcting me. Appreciate the information. We got, Robert and Noonan. Hey, Robert. Good morning.
Hey, Walt. How you doing?
Doing fine, Robert. What's going on?
I have a contorted fingernut that I had purchased about probably 5, maybe 6 years ago.
Yeah, great
and
plant.
I had planted it out front. And it's even grown more than 4 inches in the past 5, 6 years. And I was thinking about possibly transplanting it this season. And I want to get your advice on what kind of conditions you think would be more adequate for it.
I think you're exactly right, Robert. If a shrub or a tree just hasn't grown very well, that tells me that something wrong in the root system is in heavy soil that really the roots have not expanded. Maybe it was a real circling root situation when you took it out of the pot and the roots just have started, have just never stopped circling around and haven't gone outward. But something's going on with the root system, and digging it and transplanting it, or digging it and replanting it in the same spot, I bet will do marvelous, marvelous things for the contorted filbert.
Should I wait? Should I do it now, or maybe wait until it gets even a little bit cooler down here, more
think,
into the
I think you're fine January, now. February. I told a guy earlier this morning who was transplanting crepe myrtles, I said, this is the great time to move things because the soil is so soft, so muddy and slushy that it won't be great for digging up the new bed, but as far as moving things and getting them out of the soil now, you can just pull them right out of the ground.
Great. All right. Well, I really appreciate your info, and I've been listening to you for about, more than probably 8 years now, and you've helped me out very much in my yard.
Let me ask you something, Robert, before we go. Why did you choose the contorted filbert? It is a beautiful, wonderful, fabulous plant, but why did you choose it?
Because of the I want to have some good-looking plants in the winter, too. So I wanted, when the leaves fall off, I want to have something that actually has a little bit of, just the I love the curliness of the the limbs.
Yeah.
And it's also called a Harry Lauder's walking stick, by the way.
A good name for it. Look that up and find the history of why it's called Harry Lauder's walking stick. One more thing, Robert. Have you seen any straight stems coming up from the base of the plant through the middle of the tree?
I have not. I think it was a good draft on the one I got. I had got it also from Pike's.
Okay.
And so I'm really excited about seeing it get larger, but I just haven't seen that happen yet.
Yeah, it will. Probably it will sometimes sooner rather than later. Mine finally started making straight stems from the graft, below the graft union. 5 years ago, I guess, 6 years ago, maybe, that this started making them. And all you have to do is cut them off. It's no big deal. But just notice when they start and cut them off at the base. Big deal. Nothing to it.
All right. I don't mind me asking, how large is yours?
7-8 maybe feet high.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
You too. Same thing to you. Gene's down in Carrollton, joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How can I help, Gene?
You saved me so much work a few months ago. I called you about cutting them crepe myrtles, and you said, why?
Why? Why do that? Come on.
Now I've moved, and I've got a new location. I have an island in my front yard, and I've got these roses, and they're blooming now, and they're growing all up around this tree, and it's all grown up. And at the base of these things, there's probably four rose bushes planted around this tree, and you can't tell what's what. It's all one big mob.
Okay.
How far down can I cut them roses, and when can I cut them? I think you mentioned what they might have been earlier. It started with an H, maybe.
Knockout, probably. Or the K, maybe. Knockout rose. They're the ones that are still blooming now. I saw them on my neighbor's yard yesterday. They were blooming underneath his tree. So
yeah,
I know knockouts are blooming now.
They've grown up 8 foot high, up into, all wound up into the street.
Okay.
And it's just a big blob out in the middle of my yard, and I want to fix it and make it look pretty again. What can I do to them things? How far down can I cut them? They're probably 4 or 5 inches thick at the base.
Yeah. Gene, we can go down to 3 feet pretty easily right now. Anytime between now and the middle of February, choose a day when it's maybe sunny outside, and get your pruner and get a leather jacket on so it doesn't stick you too much, and some gloves, of course, and prune away. I think down to 2.5 to 3 feet would not hurt them particularly, and they'll come back out, of course. They're going to resprout when spring warms up. And you'll have nice-looking blooms, that big flush that happens in May. And if you want to prune down even further than that, you can prune after the first flush in May down to, gosh, 1.5 feet maybe.
Okay, so do them, what, twice a year?
That'd be all right with me. If they're real vigorous plants, sometimes twice a year works better than once. But the big pruning, if you have to prune severely, wintertime's the time to do it.
Good. One last question.
Yeah.
I've got these beautiful bushes, and they're kind of like a purple color. And they're beautiful, and they stay green year-round or, colorful year-round. Do you happen to know what these things are called? They got little bitty leaves, and right now the new growth is maybe like a lavender color.
Let's call them loropetalum. L-O-R-O, loropetalum, P-E-T-A-L-U-M. Loropetalum are the ones that are purple-leaved, and they're small, big as your thumb, I guess the leaves are. They have sort of a, I don't know, what would you say, thin, strappy-looking pink leaves in the spring and around 1st of April, I guess, into March, 1st
of
April.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Oh,
they shoot out these long shoots out the top and all. Yeah, okay. How do I care for those? They're probably 8 feet tall.
Gee, do you want them to be 8 feet tall or do you want them to be smaller?
I like them like they are. When am I supposed to cut those back?
Same thing. Wintertime is fine. Don't do a severe pruning in the winter because a lot of times they have a lot of bloom buds close to the surface of the shrub and you'll knock out some of the blooms for spring. You can prune, if you need to prune some more, you can prune them after that first flush in spring.
Okay, so do them in the winter and do the rose things twice a year.
Yeah, and I think Loropetalum is a great, tough shrub, Gene. You can't kill them. Loropetalum is a great shrub, that purple leaf color, and they have red to pink flowers usually. I saw one day before yesterday, there was a purple-leaved, white-flowered Loropetalum, which I thought was pretty spectacular. I liked the color a lot. So you can look around at nurseries if that makes any difference to you, but Loropetalum, I think, is what you have.
Okay, until they do bloom.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Too bad you couldn't get me out of a whole lot of work this time.
You still get to choose the day to do it, Gene. Do it on a warm day. Don't do it today.
Absolutely not.
All right.
You have a great day, Walt.
You too, Gene. Thanks for calling. We've got, Judy is out of Snellville. Here she is on the air. Hey, Judy. Good morning.
Hey, Walter.
Hi.
I have a honeysuckle I need to trim back. It looks like a Medusa with limbs.
All right.
How far back can I prune it when?
One of those coral honeysuckles that's so pretty, pink, yellow flowers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I would say, again, sort of my rule of thumb for pruning is do it after the flowering. When was mine? Actually, it's not mine. It's the one I gave to Mr. Kimball around the corner. Mine was blooming, it seems like, last May. If you can remember when it bloomed, then the time to prune it is after that. So I guess it's not in the wintertime, certainly. It's not in early spring, certainly, either. So keep an eye on it, Judy. And when it's finished doing its major big bloom, after that's when you can prune it. And because it's a honeysuckle, gosh, you can prune it to any height you like.
Oh, that's wonderful, because it's pretty wild right now.
if you had to. If it were wild enough that it was scraping the car when you drove by it and you couldn't walk on the sidewalk or things like that, well, now is the time to do that, whenever your pruners are sharp. But I think if you just needed to prune it severely for some reason or other, then after that first flush of bloom, that'd be fine.
Okay, thank you, and try to stay warm.
All right, I'll do this. I'll do it, Judy. Thanks for calling. Don't forget, tomorrow is Sunday, when the Atlanta Journal-Constitution comes out for my Sunday issue, which I love to read. Jim Torpy talking about homeless people in the Atlanta area, I think will be an interesting column to read. Jim Galloway, of course, Maureen Downey. All the other editorial and investigative reporters for the AJC are just fun to read. The big stories, of course, are on Sunday. And so if you get the AJC, if you subscribe like I do, get it delivered to your door, or you can buy it at convenience stores and grocery stores around Atlanta. But I love reading the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's credible, it's compelling, it is complete, and it is my source of in-depth reporting in the metro and further Georgia area. It's 7:47 at News Talk WSB. Back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be here Monday morning, 4:30 till 9, for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves.
Is it with the C or H? I am confused. What about those N's and K's? Do you use one or two? I remember when I was back in elementary school, a Spanish kid told me that it starts with a silent J. But Julio was wrong, or maybe he was right. Can someone decide?
Question.
Just tell me, how do you spell Hanukkah?
That's the question. How do you spell Hanukkah? Thanks to my friends Gay and Garen and Will Robertson for passing that one along to me. How do you spell Hanukkah? Two N's, two K's, a huh, or a huh, or how do you pronounce and spell Hanukkah? A quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Saturday, high of 42. low of 36 overnight. 100% chance of rain today. Sunday, 38 is the high. 35 is the low. 70% chance of rain. AM is sort of light. It's going to taper off during tomorrow. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Jim's in Powder Springs joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm great. What's going on?
I have a crepe myrtle, 20 years old. It was a bush, not a tree.
Yeah.
It's grown and filled up. Probably 7 feet tall.
All right.
Probably 15 to 17 feet across. How much can I? It's taken over my sidewalk. How much can I?
Yeah. It's always my rule is if it's taken over your convenience, your driveway, your sidewalk, your, you know, beating it on the screens of the house, now is the time to prune it. Don't wait. Don't think, well, the best time to do it is in winter or July or, you know, whenever. If it's a bother to you, Jim, do the cutting back now. You said this is a crepe myrtle or a Japanese maple. What should you say?
Japanese maple.
Japanese maple. Okay. It's, you know, now's a great time, frankly, to prune them because all the leaves are gone and you can see where the limbs are. And my observation about Japanese maples, Jim, is sometimes the limbs get pretty crowded. Don't hesitate. If two limbs are really close to each other and sort of crowding each other, one shading the other one maybe, don't hesitate to take the weaker limb out. You can make the tree look a lot better just by some structural pruning, we call it, during the wintertime. And now with the leaves gone, that's the time to do it. You see what's going on and sort of can guide the form and the shape and height and width of the tree. Anytime between now and the middle of February would be great.
About how much can I reduce it in height and width?
It wouldn't hurt my feelings. It won't hurt the tree either to go, gosh, at least 30%, maybe even 50% if you wanted to, of the total foliage on the tree. Think about back in the summertime when it had leaves on it. If you remove this limb and then that limb over there, that's 10% there, 10% there. Think about 5% for the little trimming on the sides. So anywhere between 30 and 50% removal would be fine.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful.
Yeah, don't do it today, Jim. You know, it's raining, it's cold, it's miserable today. So don't worry about it today. Tomorrow, fine. Go out and do the afternoon when the sun's come back out again. Maybe Monday. It'll be cold, but you still get it done. It's a good time to get the job underway and get it done before the really cold weather of January appears. 404-872-0750. Number one, Lawn and Garden. We'll be back after news.